passion for the planet, sound publishing,
the environment, health, alternatives and solutions.
I'm Chantal Cook. How can designers play a role in helping us all be a bit more environmentally friendly? Rob Holdway is director of design agency Giraffe.
Well, designers are very powerful people. They're also very dangerous people, because if you're designing stuff that people are buying and then throwing away and it isn't got the environment in mind, it can be highly polluting. I think the environment presents a great creative opportunity for the UK. We've got some of the best designers in the world here, yet they really haven't engaged on the environmental agenda as well as they could. This is about having good information, sound science, and making good design decisions so people buy products and use services that are as eco-friendly as possible but still function well, look good, pleasing to the eye and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, they have overall life cycle benefit. In other words, at every stage of the life cycle, they have been thought about in terms of their environmental impact. This is a great opportunity for design and the design profession.
Now, shouldn't this just be something in the end that is not really called environmentally friendly, it's just part of design?
100% agree. Good design is about context. The notion of blue skies thinking, which a lot of designers like to talk about, means you don't think about constraints because you want to be creative. Well, this is like the antithesis of good creative thinking. Good design actually incorporates the environment, it incorporates inclusivity, and all the things with an aging population. All those elements are part of a good design process. So we as designers need to take accountability for our actions, if you like, in the design process and make sure we think about the environment, we think about the aging population, we make sure things work. How many products or systems, including the railway station, where you get lost every time you try and use it, etc. There's some very inefficient design out there that makes it very difficult for us to even engage with products, services, etc., let alone the environmental impact of this. So yeah, the eco-design as a phrase shouldn't really be used. It should just be good design.
There's also a danger that because of greenwashing and jumping on bandwagons, that some designers actually feel like they don't want to try and say that they're eco, because either they'll be accused of not being eco enough or greenwashing or something, or people have a perception that perhaps it's not quite such a good design.
Absolutely agree. I was a research fellow at the Royal College of Art, and I did face some resistance by a number of tutors who arguably should have known better. There were some very good ones there, I have to say, but where they thought that eco design was inferior design. This isn't consonant with what the Japanese think, or the Germans think, some Americans even think. So there is a view that if it's eco design, then it's slightly inferior. But we're working with very high-end companies at the moment using recycled plastics into hi-fi that costs £40,000 for a pair of speakers, and we're using it for other medical devices which cost 0.2p. So we're trying to show that you can have high-value, high-status products that do have recycled material in them. And I think consumers are engaged. There's evidence to show that consumers are engaged in this whole process, and they do want to do stuff. They want to buy products that are eco-friendly. Designers can design them, but you still have to think about all the other design constraints about function, aesthetics, etc. So it is a great opportunity. But that perception that eco-design is inferior is changing.
And are there particular countries who are doing eco-design particularly well?
Well, there's more than two schools of eco-design thought, but you get the typical sort of projects which just use recycled materials, for instance, and they will crush plastic bottles and make a light out of it. That's not really my view of saving the planet. But what I'm interested in is mainstream products that are designed that have good environmental benefits, whether it's energy in use or whether it's the materials they use, etc., or how they supply it to the customer. There are certain countries, I think the UK is very good at this, actually. We're working with companies like Dell in America, for instance, and they've chosen to work with a British consultancy on environmental design. I would, of course, argue we're the best, but the Scandinavians have long led the way in eco-design and eco-thinking. Some Australian universities are very good, even though Australia hasn't signed up to Kyoto. Bizarre paradox there. And dare I say, the Americans are really embracing this issue now. So I see eco-design and design for the environment, if you like, as being a good commercial and economic opportunity for UK PLC. And my company is just a reflection of a new form of service provision that we can sell globally. So we export our services. So it's good for the planet and good for the economy.
And well, how does regulation affect it as well? I know there's some things, for example, about not using recycled materials in food packaging and things like that.
Yeah.
So is regulation now moving us in the right direction or actually hampering design?
Regulations are a very powerful instrument to get companies to do stuff. If you leave companies on their own, some will do it, some won't, and most will lobby very hard against legislation. I think there's two ways of looking at this. Politicians think the market will decide what should be right for the environment. Companies look to legislation and only really react to legislation. The best ones, of course, are proactive. But when you talk to the general public, I think they've got the most powerful role in actually engaging on this agenda. And if we can give them sound information, good information about what is right and what they can do, I think that's the most powerful change. So I think empowering us as individuals to have good information, be well informed, And then the influence of that is, who do we vote for and which products and services and which companies do we get those from? So I think in political terms and in company terms, I think the general public are sort of almost ignored in many ways. And I think that's got to change. And that's part of what the London Leaders Programme is about, giving good information to the general public so they can make informed decisions. And at the moment, on my anecdotal evidence, they're very confused. They don't know what to do.
That's Rob Holdwaite from Giraffe. And there are lots more interviews available on demand at passionfortheplanet.com.
This is a Passion for the Planet Sound publication. For more information about Passion for the Planet Sound Publishing, visit passionfortheplanet.com.